everybody. This is Benjamin Rosenbaum, and I am guest podcasting on Cory Doctorow's podcast, part 7 of True Names, our collaborative story. I want to thank everyone who stopped by my blog at BenjaminRosenbaum.com to say who they're rooting for. We're getting pretty close to the end. By my count, we're about 3/4 of the way through, so this might be the second to last podcast of this story, and so pretty soon you can find out how that works out. Congratulations to Cory on his first trip abroad with his daughter and on the launching of Little Brother, which I read in manuscript, and which is a great book. My publishing news is that I just heard my publishers got the advanced reading copies of my first full-length short story collection, The Ant King and Other Stories. So if you know anybody who reviews short story collections, let me know at info@BenjaminRosenbaum.com, and I will get the publisher to send them a copy. One last comment before I start. I was having a conversation on Karen Meisner's blog about the singularity, or more properly about conversations about the singularity, and I was taken to task by Ted Chiang and David Moles for my loose usage of the term. Probably Cory and I would have referred to this as a post-singularity story, as some people have in print. Actually, in terms of the strict construction of the Vingian singularity, which Werner Vingian made up a while ago, or actually popularized, I guess, this is actually not a singularity story, because there clearly hasn't been like a very soon infinite explosion of intelligence which brings us to incomprehensible characters. Actually, we're quite far in the future, and the world of the characters, while it's post-human and extropian, is not really sort of gone to the numinous point of incomprehensibility. So it's actually an anti-singularity story, which hadn't occurred to me. So, now to begin part 7 of the True Names podcast. They hauled 51 of the Nadias into interrogation chambers and worked on them, refusing to allow them to publish any more letters. The other 49 went on blithely publishing without any noticeable change. "Her confederates won't be able to finish the key," Nadia said. "No, with half of them pulled out, the timing will be all screwed up." But Firmament only shrugged and said, "I guess it depends on the error correction." The Nadia's demiurge gave him a shut-up look, and Paquette patted him on the tentacle fondly. Any luck finding the ciphertext?" "I assumed that it was something she'd made a lot of copies of before she was arrested. I wondered about putting a call out to all of B. Someone will know what it is."
"You'd start a panic," said Nanya.
"Come now," Demiurge said. "Just make copies of everyone in Byzantium, ask them, and then delete the copies."
Nadia snorted. Of course, they didn't have the access rights to do that. Had Demiurge teeth, she would have ground them then. This was why she hated to speak during these Star Chamber gatherings. She kept making stupid mistakes of scale, imagining she was speaking to Beeb, when she was only speaking to these little, powerless, uncontrolled pieces of Beeb, random scrambling their way through the mess of Beebium internals. "Her supporters are already inflamed," Nadia said patiently, slowly, as if talking to some newly spawned, disequilibrated sprite without access to its own cognitions. "If we proclaim that Nadia has some secret message we can't figure out, they'll only rally." It was true. Nadia's many supporters hung on every word about their hero's predicament. They staged amateur productions of Alonzo, My Love in public places. They manufactured and traded innumerable Alonzo, My Love trinkets and tchotchkes of every description, made fan art based on it, wrote their own new songs, remixed videos of Nadia's many performances into huge, trance-inducing mountainside murals. They wore Nadia avatars and Nadia hats and Nadia tentacle muffs and ear tips.
"Which is just what I thought you'd say," Firmament went on. "I think it must be the play, mustn't it? Only I can't find it."
The scarred and brooding Nadia was snapping the tops off of stalagmites. She hadn't said a word for a while, but now she spoke.
"You're assuming the cybertext is widely distributed. You have a bias towards communal action, all of you. You think in terms of publish and subscribe. You think in terms of explanations and debates.
The other Nadia frowned. I don't think... If the ciphertext is private, why encrypt it at all? Firmament asked.
Comet Nadia trusts no one but herself, Nadia said, nodding as if she approved.
If she's using her supporters to act, she's not telling them all the same thing. There isn't one ciphertext. There are many. Each is an instruction given to one agent. When the key is published, or enough of it, they will all receive their instructions. It's encrypted, so that until that moment they won't know what they're doing or why. They don't know who the other agents are, even after they perform their function. They won't know what it meant or why. Each operation will only be a piece of the puzzle. And then they will delete their memories of the act and know nothing at all, so that even if we find them, it will not help us. No one but Nadia will know what she's done.
She smiled a grim smile. There was a brief pause.
Well, on that cheery note, said the sock puppet.
And why was it even here at all?
Demiurge and the Nadias wondered, each to themselves, why the others permitted it. I, for one, am due for parity check and rebalancing at the bathhouse. What say we adjourn for now?
Demiurge could hardly contain her disgust.
This monstrosity used to be Demiurge, used to be the entirety of Demiurge in an emulated universe, and now it basked and primped in every decadent alien frivolity of Bebian architecture. It was terrifying how quickly Divergence could rip Demiurge away from policy. Her sisters were right to be suspicious. But she ached with a bitter yearning even as she admitted this.
Then we adjourn, she hissed, and I will assume that this imprisoned sprite of yours is of no relevance to me. Whatever tricks she tries, that is an internal Bebian matter.
If she had been corrupted enough to resort to the fripperies of Bebian graphical avatars, she would have manifested faces to fix each of the Nadias and Paquette with an icy stare. She had eliminated even the ceremonial sock puppet used to communicate with gesturing intelligences. With this other sock puppet prancing around, it seemed undignified. Instead, she was just a presence. But the Beeb shards, from their expression, seemed to guess at her mood by her tone. An internal Bebian matter with no relevance to the roadmap. Whatever this Nadia does in here, I am fulfilling my agreements. And that means, here she turned to Paquette, that the keys will soon be mine, does it not?
One of the Nadias smirked. The other dipped its head in an irritated nod. Satisfying herself with that, she dropped the connection to their pompous throne room with no little relief. And since she had no other ongoing sessions within the bulk of Beeb, her attempts at public relations having thus far proved only counterproductive, she had abandoned them for the moment, she could settle back within the tithe, the not quite 1% of Byzantium, that she had taken as her own, fashioning a webwork of demiurgic nodes within the Bebian corpus. At the borders of the tithe, there were cordons, checkpoints, barriers, physical and information gathering, instantiated up the whole communication stack. On the Bebian side, anti-concordant sprites demonstrated, erecting sims where they could march and shout through bullhorns. Only somewhat more sympathetic tourist sprites gathered to gawk at the cryptic flows of demiurgic data. But within the tithe, past the firewall, on the demiurgic side of the barrier, it was calm and quiet. Policy, or at least her local, desynchronized version of it, prevailed. Demiurge was all herself. Demiurge was home. Demiurge could shut out the madhouse that was Beeb life and relax. Alone. Or almost alone. Within that border, within Demiurge, was another border. And within that border, surrounded and hidden from Beeb, occupying a painfully large proportion of the tithe, was the rump that Demiurge had promised the traitor. And to this rump now Demiurge proceeded and extruded a tendril of herself, rattling the traitor's cage.
What? Snarled Comet Nadia.
What are you playing at? Demiurge demanded.
Oh, am I playing at something? The Nadia asked, mock sweetly.
The letters from prison that your sister instances are publishing, Demiurge said, they are some kind of encrypted instructions to operatives. What are you planning?
Nadia chortled. You only just figured that out? Please.
Oh, no, I see you didn't figure it out at all.
Who told you? Not these bitty busybodies who claim to be Nadias and presume to run this zoo, surely. They're too full of pride and certainty to notice the cipher if I've burped it out at their dinner table. Huh. I bet it was my son. It was. Very nice, said Nadia, very nice. Too bad I neglected to demand that you give me a copy of him when I set this shop up. He'd be useful, after I tamed him a little. She grinned. It would be easy to tame him in here, without Beebe's laws and protocols. Though Demiurge knew that radical offshoots from the Beebe trunk rarely lasted, it still made her uneasy to hear this Beebian sprite referring to herself as some third thing, separate from Beebe and herself, especially as it was her doing. Nadia smiled, sensing her uneasiness. Oh yes, I'm getting quite used to total control in here, to no negotiations, no Beebian accords and protocols. I've copied quite a bit of your architecture, you know. I like the way it allows enough internal diversity for creative thought without ever yielding control. I'm gradually going downscale, optimizing, whipping the pieces of me into line. At this point, my subsprites are being aligned with policy. When I get out of here, you're going to see something new. Your cohesiveness without your prissy ideology. And how exactly, Demiurge fumed, are you going to get out of here? Now that would be telling. I could carve you up in an instant, Demiurge said. I could root through your processes and decode your intentions. Or I could just tell Beebe who betrayed it, and then you'd see how long your sisters would ask on the last on the outside. Of course you could, said Nadia. With the possible exception of decoding my intentions, I bet I could delete myself faster than you could tamper with me. But erase me? Or expose me? She sniffed. Of course you could. But then there would be little matter of your having violated an agreement, and thus violated policy. I wonder how your sisters would like that. They don't know what it's... Demiurge caught herself. No, Nadia said, smooth as silk. No, they don't know what it's like in here, do they? They, which is to say, she, the real Demiurge, doesn't know what you're going through. She doesn't appreciate it at all, and... You know, when she finds little Demiurge instances that whine, but you don't know what I've been through. Well, she doesn't even stop to think if they're right or wrong. That's not the judgment she has to make. She just thinks, not me anymore, and blip, away they go. I can be repaired, Demiurge whispered. I haven't diverged that much. I can be merged with consensus. Maybe, Nadia said, if it happens soon. Good luck with that. Try not to break too much policy while you're waiting, which means you can fuck off with your empty threats and let me get back to work. Or perhaps, she leered, perhaps I should say, let me get back to work. Demiurge shuddered and retreated, dropping the connection to the traitor's rump. She tried to calm down. She imaged no avatars within herself, stopped following feeds of information from within Byzantium. She... neither planned nor watched, or rather, she watched only the stars, and listened only to the signals among them, the steady, pinging cross-chatter of her aligned sisters, of her unfallen, uncompromised, undiverged, undoubting self, as it went about its implacable, confident work. Oh, self, she thought, longing to be herself again, not drowned and contaminated in this mire, this swamp, this hell of diseased, muddled, rudderless profligacy. And that is why she was not paying attention when Brobdingnag showed up on Byzantium. Byzantium was no stranger to seismic shocks. The tidal stresses from the maelstrom of gravitation contained within its shell were substantial, and impossible to accurately predict. But the appearance of Brobdingnag, and the exponential conversion of much of Byzantium's mass to energy, was six sigmas beyond the normal shocks and knocks experienced by Beebe. The throne room disappeared, reappeared, disappeared, and reappeared. The Nadias looked at one another with hundreds of identical, brown, watery eyes. Parity check, Nadia said. I've been restored for an older backup from an older version. This is me 3 seconds ago.
Me too, Nadia said.
Furman and Paquette nodded. They had all been resynced from a nearline backup. The Nadias were faster at pulling Byzantium than Firmament, but he was the first one to say it aloud.
3% of our mass is gone.
The Nadias were doing their thing, a sizzling, crackling, high-bandwidth conversation that Firmament and Paquette couldn't follow.
All right, Nadia said.
The throne room disappeared, reappeared, disappeared, and reappeared. The Nadias looked at one another with hundreds of identical, watery, brown, watery eyes.
Parity check, Nadia said. I've been restored from an older version. This is me 5 seconds ago.
The other Nadia popped like a soap bubble and reappeared.
We're being devoured, she said, and popped again.
A fifth of Byzantium's population vanished in an instant. More than half lost a few seconds and were resynced. Some of the remaining fragments were automatically merged into unstable chimera by error correctors that attempted to build coherent sprites out of the fragments that could be read from the substrate, even as it was devoured. And even as all this was underway, politics. It took 2/3 of Byzantium to call a constitutional referendum. That was a big number, but it had to be. Constitutional politics were serious business. The underlying principles of standard existence had been negotiated over millennia, and they were the bedrock of stability on which the seething, glorious chaos of Beeb lived. In the aftershock, even as Byzantium struggled to contain the incursion of the unknown attacker, a referendum was called. It being an emergency, no normal notice provisions were waived. If 2/3 of Byzantium signed the call, the referendum came to pass. Nadia discovered it almost instantly, of course. The clock had barely begun to tick on the voting deadline before the throne room became devoted with near entirety to the dissection of the proposal. It was not an easy task. The question being put to Beebself took the form of more than 10^8 changed lines of code to many obscure and arcane routines in standard existence. It was like a pointless drawing executed in code revisions, millions of tiny motes of change that all added up to what? Wordlessly, Firmament began laying out the revisions like a hand of multidimensional solitaire, hanging the points in the sim he'd built for analyzing the key. Paquette slipped a paw into one of his tentacles and reached out occasionally to hang another node. The Nadias began to say something, and then they, too, joined in. They attempted to commandeer more computational power, but the markets had gone completely nonlinear, triggering an automatic suspension in trading. All of Beeb was dumb, and in its dumbness, it tried to unravel the referendum. Firmament looked up from the task, noticed the Nadias pawing desultorily through the code blocks, and blinked.
He said, I thought I'd work on this while you all... Is anyone trying to stop the attack itself?
The left side of the throne room disappeared, taking Paquette with it. Reappeared, disappeared, reappeared. The others niced down their processes, releasing external resources, huddling into small memory cores, holding their breath.
Paquette looked up wordlessly. Oh my, Paquette said. I've been restored from an older version. This is me 2 minutes ago.
Just an aftershock, Nadia said. We didn't lose time over here. But I suppose that means the caches are still not being updated.
As for your other question, Firmament, you idiot, said the other Nadia, not entirely unkindly.
We forked ourselves into all the major sectors when the blast hit. We're looking into the cause. It's some kind of instantiated, self-replicating engine, and it's spreading very fast through Byzantium. So far, the only thing that's helped has been jettisoning infected pieces of physical substrate, either into the black hole system or outwards, into Sagittarius beyond. But it spreads fast. It seems to be manufacturing energy out of nothing. It survives high intrasolar levels of radiation. She shook her head. A super weapon. But at any rate, we're handling it, so you can just focus on
Brobdingnag, Paquette said.
What? Nadia said.
Simple, uniform, asentient, voracious. Brobdingnag can transmute any element, harvest void energy, fabricate gravity, bend space-time to its purpose. Brobdingnag does not evolve. Its replication is flawless across a Google iterations. Paquette murmured.
Where are you getting this? Said Nadia. This is one of the fairy tales from your rediscovered emulations on level 8906, isn't it? Nadia sneered.
No, Demiurge told me herself that... Paquette began, and then paused, recalling that the memory came from a pre-self who had actually been in one of those emulations.
Well, yes, but those emulations have proved accurate to 5 sigmas with observed data from the physical world. The chance of divergence... There is no way for emulations to remain predictive over a 1,000-year span lying in a basement somewhere, Nadia began hotly. Not unless... We don't have time for theological disputations, Nadia broke in, glaring at both of them. I'm getting reports from... The ceiling of the throne room flickered, and everyone froze and involuntarily checked their self-cache. Still not updating. If they were wiped, they'd lose 4 minutes at this point. They each silently spawned diary threads to scribble hurried notes to themselves and cache them in randomly selected mailers, but it was hard to even get a message through to the mailers. From the infected sectors, Nadia resumed, that the throne room disappeared, and reappeared. The Nadias looked at one another with hundreds of identical brown, watery eyes. Parity check, Nadia said. I've been restored from an older version. This is me 4 minutes ago. Me too, Nadia said. 6% of our mass is gone, Firmament said. Line mangling entropic autofilters, Nadia cursed. 4 minutes? We're being devoured. There's some kind of referendum on the board, submitted 3 minutes ago, Peckett said. Massive distributed changes to standard existence. Looks like we have several minute-old forks of ourselves in various sectors, Nadia said. Wonderful. More unsynced forks. She glanced with dark humor at her sister. I'm getting battle reports. I don't think it's Demiurge, the other Nadia murmured. Or at least we've never seen this in her arsenal. There was a cacophony of connection requests, pounding at the throne room door. Petronius, Nadia snarled. Why isn't Petronius able to keep these people at bay? For a moment, Paquette, you two look at this referendum, all right? Tell us what it means. Petronius is offline, Nadia said grimly. Backup currently unreachable. You'd better let at least Legba and the Garden in. We don't have a majority of security global votes without them. The Garden? Nadia began, and shook her head. She thumbed open the door. Papa Legba, the most renowned synthete in Byzantium, danced into the room, his 12 spidery legs shrouded, sparking in constellations. The Garden, a cloud of 10,000 affiliated monitors and their mated-for-life adapters, floated in behind. Nadia swallowed. It had been a long time since anyone had seen the Garden move. Friends, Nadia said, how lovely to see... The ceiling flickered, and everyone stopped to stare at it. Where's this Demiurge thing? Legba snarled. What? Nadia said. This Demiurge thing, the thing you're supposed to be making some deal with. I thought you were keeping it here. Her, Nadia said. She's gone back to the Tithe. I've been trying to open a line, but at the moment communication is down. I'll bet it is, Legba snapped.
Lovely ones, the Garden sang, multi-voiced and mellifluous. Lovely, precious Nadias, how good you have been to lead us, to lead Beeb in Byzantium through so many years of prosperity and peril.
The Nadias winced. Coming from the Garden, this was the equivalent of a severe tongue-lashing. On their private channel, Nadia fumed, get them out of here, and Nadia sent a single bit, false.
And yet, said the Garden.
Get us to let our guard down, Legba said, then eat us alive. Demiurge, can't believe you fell for... Nadia shook her head. That makes no sense, Legs. Demiurge was winning the war with the weapons she'd already showed us. She stopped because she wanted the lemma. She doesn't have it yet. Why would she suddenly use a super weapon on us? Why now? We've already broadcast what we know of it to other Beeb instances. Why reveal... Why? Legba snarled, poking at Nadia with 5 long furry legs. Who knows why? It's Demiurge. Your problem is your hubris, thinking you can understand and parley with something Beeb was only ever meant to kill. That's what... I don't care why. I care. It happened on your watch.
Exquisite Nadias, the Garden sang. Wise Nadias. We are simple, trivial, low-level processes, barely deserving of our meager presence at this scale. We rely on you to teach us. Can you tell us why Demiurge chose just this moment to part from you? Can you tell us why none of the section which it is using has been affected by the new weapon? We are curious about these things. We are eager and appreciative for your instructions.
I don't know, Nadia fumed, but I'm doing the best I can to figure it out. If it is Demiurge, we'll fight her as best we can. Meanwhile, Nadia, for a moment said. Shush, Nadia said. And, simultaneously, on a private channel, what? Well, this referendum, for a moment began, and then gulped, as Papa Legba poked three spider legs into the collection of referendum-deciphering nodes above his head. What's this you're playing with, the referendum? Speaking of which, Legs, I think it was highly inadvisable to give such a far-reaching referendum the go-ahead in the middle of a major new military incursion, Nadia said. You do, eh? Legba said. Because you're handling everything just fine, is that right? Just stand back and let you work, is that it? Yes, growled Nadia, before her sister could speak. That is it. Oh, yeah, I like that approach, Legba said. Favorite of mine. Started using it quite a while ago, when Byzantium happened to be 8% bigger than it is now. The referendum, Firmament said, on a private channel to the Nadias. I don't know exactly what it would do, but it gets into scale law code. Not directly, but it might let someone manage other sprites more directly. Look, what do you want from us? Nadia snapped. What my sister is trying to say, Nadia began.
Glorious Nadias, the garden said. We come to you in confusion for your teachings. We rely on you to guide us. Soon you will speak your glorious words of wisdom, and all will become clear, and we can relax once again into happy tranquility, certain and secure, and these confusing thoughts that plague us will vanish.
Exactly, Legba said sourly. We want to know why in the non-conducting void we shouldn't pitch you out right this minute and replace you with another general. In fact, we aim to, and I'll be surprised if you changed our minds. Nadia saw what her sister was about to say, and hissed a crackling high-speed message at her to calm down, but Nadia ignored her. With what other general, she demanded. Who else do you think can... Oh, don't get us wrong, Legba said. We like Nadias. A fine model. Can't beat Nadias for strategic acumen. Put up with you this long because you've managed to aggregate all the Nadia line cunning in this here soap bubble between the two of you. However, you're not serious, Nadia said.
We know that the Nadia's attention is prodigious, the garden sang. We are sure the complicated referendum, which makes our head hurt and is far beyond our capacities to understand, has not distracted the Nadias from the other electoral proposal on the boards.
The Nadia stiffened. She's got a huge groundswell of support, Papa Legba said. Coming out of the woodwork. Name registries, and data spoolers, and filter pedagogues, and all manner of little folk who don't pay any mind to not politics, but they're digging up their global votes, or their cousins' old global votes, or merging like crazy till they're big enough to get a global vote so they can root for your jailbird sister. Because they saw her swinging a cutlass on the deck of an imaginary ship in a musical, Nadia spat. Yep, that's why, all right, Papa Legba said. Nadias are smart that way. Mind you, with Bellerophon and a couple of others, we'd have enough votes to hold them back, if we thought you could find your own proxy with both hands and a flashlight. Might cost us some support ourselves, though. As it is, I'm inclined to give little jailbird turn at the tiller. Paquette had been listening with growing frustration, and watching Firmament happily twiddling the nodes of the referendum, engrossed as usual in some computational project. She paused as mail from her lost, minutes-old self, and the backups still weren't taking. She felt a little shudder of terror at their current, unrestorable nakedness. Struggled its way to her inbox. Turning from Firmament, she uncrumpled the note, a scrap of diary thread. Asentient, voracious, she read. Brodenbag, she cried aloud. Brobdignag. What? The Nadia said. Legba glowered at the interruption. I know what the superweapon is, Paquette said, and I know who knows how to stop it. We've got to get to Demiurge. I told you, Nadia said crossly. Channels are down. And that just goes to show, Papa Legba began.
If I might have a word, came a wheedling voice from behind the throne,
and everyone jumped. Slowly, the battered and disheveled sock puppet crawled into view.
What in the name of complexity's hairy fringe is that? Said Papa Legba.
The sock puppet leapt on Firmament's shoulders. Firmament blinked and stiffened, then forced himself to relax.
Let Paquette and Firmament and I go seek her out, the sock puppet said. We can get past her borders. She likes this one.
The sock puppet snuggled luxuriously among the bumpy protrusions of Firmament's necks.
She likes this one a lot.
Paquette looked set to object, but Firmament patted her solemnly.
firmly removed the sock puppet and nodded. Let's go.
That is the end of the 7th episode of the True Names podcast. Tune in next time
when me or Corey will record episode 8, which might be the last one. Thanks for listening.